So we're all familiar with the FLA WARA. Does anyone know what that stands for? Come on, somebody's got to know. Right, want, run anywhere. No, no. It really stands for the Florida Women's Open Racquetball Association. Next slide. So, right once on any run anywhere, we all know, just like unicorns, it's pretty much a myth, right? It was a good dream, but it never really came to fruition. You were always sort of programming to the lowest common denominator. The experience was could be really good, but it wasn't as optimal as it could be for each different platform. And a lot of the times, you had things like navigation and the way you interact with the app was different because it had to be the same everywhere. So, you know, a WARA app on iPhone didn't behave like an iPhone app. Next slide. So I've come up with a new one. Any guesses? Oh, probably not, eh? Yeah. So we're going to write lots of stuff once, then we're going to run some stuff four or five times, and it's going to be awesome. And then we're going to run anywhere. And we're still getting feedback. Come on. So next. So we'll do a little overview here. You got to keep looking at the slides. That's rough, hard in the neck. Yeah. Don't fall. So what are some of your choices? We've got a bunch of different platforms, Windows Phone, Windows 8.1, Android, iOS. Next slide.
A ton of others, yeah.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
So one of your choices is to just use PhoneGap, as we talked about the Right Once Run Anywhere thing, and it does a great job. HTML, CSS, PhoneGap, and you can get a great experience, but again, not the best. Who's next? Ah, see, and then this happened. Build. They made some announcements at Microsoft Build, and it sort of changed everything. This talk was going to be real easy. We were just going to show you portable class libraries and sort of be done with it. And at Build, they've announced some new stuff and some new partnerships. Next slide. Who's next?
That's it.
So, that's it. Windows 8.1, if you're going to... So, what are your targets? Is this where you go, or is this
where I go?
Well, this is where you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'll shut up. And Lori will lead you through all of this.
All right. So with all of the announcements that were at Build about, universal apps and then the Xamarin partnership, that left a lot of developers really, really excited. But then in the aftermath of the announcements, when you were in the cold, dark abyss of your cubicle, you started to get worried. Where do I even start? That's what you're thinking. I don't know what to do. How do I build up a cross-platform development apps? Which platform should I target first, iOS, Android? Well, you're .NET developers, right? Right? Yeah, most of us are .NET developers. So why don't you start with what you know? And Microsoft made it really awesome for you to now start developing apps where you can essentially write your code once and run among Windows and Windows Phone apps, as long as they're 8.1 XAML-based apps. And that's the concept of universal apps. It's pretty amazing. And that way you can lay out your views, put all your business logic in your shared files, to use the MVVM approach, that's good practices, because that allows you a clean separation of your views, your UI, and your business logic. And then once you lay out all the kinks with the platform that you know, that's when you can start expanding out. So let's take a look at what universal apps look like. So we're going to have a demo. I'm hoping that my Visual Studio doesn't take too long to load, and I don't want to fall into the abyss back here that I fell into earlier. So essentially, the structure of universal apps: you have two different projects for each platform, like one project for each platform, Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1. And then you have something called a shared apps project. This allows you to, share the code between the two platforms. Now, it's not a compiled library. These files simply just get linked into your platform-specific apps, and when you compile those apps, it gets compiled in with that. So you have two different applications that are generated on compile. Okay. So say you've built up your universal apps. Great, it's awesome. Your manager looks at it, he's like, I love it. Now I want you to develop it for the desktop. Say you developed a time tracking app for the developers to track their time on the go when they're at client sites or working from home. Well, now the call center wants it, and they work on Windows 7 machines, so they can't run the Windows 8.1 store app. They can't run Windows Phone 8.1 apps because they don't have that type of mobile device. They have a mishmash of different devices. So now you have to develop a desktop app that they can use from their desk. WPF, we'll go with that. Because WPF has XAML, so we can reuse some of the XAML from the Windows 8.1 view. And then we can extract out the reusable code that we had in the shared apps project and put it into something called Portable Class Library. Now, anyone here heard of Portable Class Libraries before? Few of you? Okay, great. So for those of you who haven't, it's not a new concept. It essentially allows you to create libraries that can be reused. It has a subset of .NET libraries that are shared among all platforms. Now, as you are creating your portable class library, the more platforms you select, the narrower your subset of .NET libraries become for you to reuse. But you still can do a lot with it. You can still share a lot of code and keep your app really clean and start going out into different platforms. So great, you've developed this WPF app, great view, reusing the code in the portable class libraries. You still have files in your shared apps that you're using just between your Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1 apps that can't be reused in WPF. For example, image files, code behind files for views, XAML-based controls are specific to those platforms. You can't reuse those in WPF, but you're still reusing the portable class libraries. So you still are maximizing some code reuse where possible. Great. So now you have an app for three different platforms. Awesome. Well, now the guys in marketing, they want this app on their phone, but they run iOS. They run Android. Now what are you going to do? Do you even know iOS and Android? Probably not. The majority of people that are .NET developers stick to what they know. That's where Xamarin comes in. Xamarin allows you to build apps that can run on Android and iOS devices using C#, using the language you already know. Right within Visual Studio, they have a plugin. Use the same IDE that you already know. Perfect. You already nailed down your business logic. You already know how your views are going to be laid out. The only thing that you have to worry about at this point is just understanding the different UI nuances, the design experiences for Android and iOS. That shouldn't be too complicated. She should be able to pick it up in a reasonable amount of time and get that time tracker app to those marketing guys. So you add in an iOS project, although you are going to need a MacBook, so my demo only includes Android. So add in my Android project. Well, now my PCLs, I can reuse them in my Android project as well. Just add a project reference to them. As long as those portable class libraries don't reference any specific code that's not available for Android, I can use them. Otherwise, I'll just split it out even more. And I start just abstracting the objects a lot more granular in that way. So I'm still, keeping my code clean, minimizing my code reuse, and just getting my app to market a lot faster. So then now you have an app that you have supporting on all platforms. And you started with what you knew, Visual Studio, .NET, Windows-based apps, and then you just grew it out into there to support multiple platforms.
I did it.
Okay, so here's what a universal app looks like. In order to get to it in Visual Studio, you obviously need the latest of Visual Studio 2013 Update 2. And to create a new project, which I'm not going to do, but I'm just going to show you where it is. Say File, New Project, where all exciting roads begin. And go into your store app, and within that node, you have your Universal Apps template. When you create that, it's automatically going to generate a Windows 8.1 app, a Windows Phone 8.1 app, and then your shared library. And then, as you can see, the reference for the shared library is right within there. Another thing you'll know is that Windows Phone now is using the .NET for Windows Store app, so that's where the APIs are converged. That's what allows you to maximize your code reuse among both platforms. But as you can see, we still have views that are separate in each platform because we want to design the views that are going to make sense for the device. Like a Windows Phone 8 view is not going to look nice on a Windows 8 tablet. It's just not going to look nice. So that's all I have in there. There's not even a code file. It's just my view, my XAML. Within my shared app, I have my model, which is just, my app is just a list of sessions for today, and my session view model, which manages loading up the data and then handling the images that are loaded. Speaking of images, I have those in here as well. Prior to this announcement and in previous versions, you weren't allowed to share UI components whatsoever. So shared apps allows you to do that, and universal apps make that possible. I also have my code behind for my main page in my shared app because really there's no code difference between the two, between what Windows 8.1 is going to do and what Windows Phone 8.1 is going to do. So I'm just going to throw it in here so I don't have duplicates of that file. And then they'll just be linked in on compile time. So here's my Windows 8.1 based app, a list of all the At the Movie sessions you guys were privy to today. And then if I click on one, well, then I get, the speaker, the title, and more details about what the session was about. And that's a pretty slick looking app that makes use of the screen real estate for Windows 8.1 tablets, or even like a PC screen if it's running on there. So that's fine and well. I'm going to run the phone app so you can see that just the view is different, but it's still running the same view model in the background to push the data to the UI. And that's going to take a second to load, so maybe I can get my third app in there. How many people here have developed Windows Store or Windows Phone apps? Excellent. And were you able to use PCLs to maximize your code reuse? And did you find a great time savings there in doing that? Yes? Excellent. Thumbs up is always a good sign. So there we go. Same data, same images, just a different view, different layout that really speaks to the using the real estate on the device properly in a way that is appealing to the user so that they continue to use the app. So then I'm going to end that demo and just take a quick peek into, I'll try and load this one up quickly. I'm going to be very quick here. Okay, so now I have my Android app, and this was really the last one that I want to show, but I have it loaded because for sake of time. So I still have my universal apps here, still have my shared project, but as you can see, I've moved out the view model and the model out of that project. It no longer is there. That's been moved into a portable class library because these can be reused across all the platforms that I'm supporting. I just have to remember that when I do that, I have to go in and add that project reference to that portable class library as well in my Windows Store and Windows Phone apps. So sometimes, like when you're excited, you're moving around code, then you just forget to do that, and then you build, and it can't find it, and it's giving you all kinds of compile time errors. Just check your reference links first. Make sure you remember to add those in. So that's great. So then I have my portable class library, which is the first thing that I moved out before I even created my Android app, because I needed something, for my Android app to pull data from. So it doesn't make sense to create the Android app first. So I have that separation there. And in my Android app, I simply have a single activity file. And that's just going to initialize the elements in my view that I'm loading. And manually, moving around the data, like actually just navigating through each of the items in the list. That's essentially all it's doing. I don't have data binding here the way I have in XAML, so it's nice, but most of the code is still within my portable class library. So then, kind of one more thing, going into demo two, which is a little bit out of order, kind of attacked everything in a different order, but same concept. So I still have my universal apps, my portable class libraries contain my models and my view models, and in my WPF app, I just reference the portable class library in order to reuse that code. And the only thing I have in my WPF app is my window, which just renders my elements in the UI. But all that data is coming from my portable class library, and I'm making most of that reuse. So if I ever need to make changes, if say someone new comes to Object Sharp and they have an awesome session for next year and I just want to be able to add them in, well, all my apps are already set up, ready to go. All I have to do is just add that data in the back, whether it's being pulled from a file or wherever the content's coming from, the Azure Web Services. Anybody use Azure Web Services, like mobile services? Yeah, I know you do, Bruce. Azure Mobile Services is a great thing to look into, definitely when you're developing mobile apps. And they do support Android, iOS, Xamarin apps. So, yeah.
Does Mac deployment require Mono?
Mac deployment requires Mono.
That comes built in with the Xamarin.
Well, it's built in with the Xamarin stuff.
Xamarin already packages those libraries.
So Xamarin basically, does everybody know what the Mono project is? It's basically .NET on Linux, right?
Yeah, guy in the white shirt.
Guy in white shirt is, give him another shirt, because he's sticking out in the white one. So Mono was basically an implementation of the .NET runtime on Linux. And that was an open source thing for a long time. And then it sort of started growing out when mobile came along to be a thing, and you had Mono Touch for mobile devices. And then that suddenly became Xamarin, and it started like a for sale product. So you have to buy Xamarin. It's not cheap, but it is really good. So basically what they've done is they've taken the Mono framework and they've created a framework for iOS and one for Android. So it's just all there built in. For Mac development, the thing that you need to do You need a MacBook, not because of Xamarin or any limitations there, it's because of Apple's rules on where Mac stuff, where Apple stuff can run. So even the build, so you're working in Visual Studio writing your code for an iOS app, and when you hit play, it actually builds on the MacBook and sends the results back. The emulator comes up on the MacBook across the network and runs over there and you interact with it. But the really cool thing is it's like witchcraft, because you can set a breakpoint in your .NET Code in Visual Studio, run it, do something in the emulator, click a button, and wind up and hit that breakpoint. So it's a really great experience for the most part. So to answer your question, it's built in.
Universal apps are strictly Windows 8.1 and Windows Phone 8.1 XAML-based apps. Okay. Android is a Xamarin app that's separate.
Okay. Okay. Do your Android library?
Yes, you can. They're compiled in, so yeah, you can. You can if you have libraries that you've already written, previous iOS apps and Android apps, you can include those in your Xamarin projects.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of using Xamarin. If you want to just do everything in Objective-C,
no, but it might be legacy code. Legacy code.
The awesomeness of Visual Studio.
Yeah. But oh no, you can't write Objective-C in Visual Studio.
No, you
can't. And the other limitation with iOS development is editing. In Android, everything you can do it right in Visual Studio. There's a designer for user interfaces. On the Mac, you have to use Xcode to do your UI development.
So quickly, this is what my Android apps looks like. Different look and feel than the other platforms that I showed you. And I'm just, navigating through the code. The navigation is being handled just by get methods, get next, get previous in my view model. So that business logic is still contained in there. And even though my Android app's the only one that's using it, I may develop an iOS app that might, I might deliver the content in the same way. So I want to still keep that code reusable as much as possible. So that's how that looks. And with that, Dave, back to you.
One last wrap-up slide. So one of the big things, if you want to make this work, is you got to get your head right. You've got to get a mindset. You need to understand it. Like, it's not just, I whip up some stuff and it's going to work everywhere. You need to know sort of how things work on iOS, how things work on Android. If you don't, you're going to be in for a bit of a world of hurt. Next slide. So, the key thing is separation of concerns. We all know it's a thing that we should do, and if you're going to go cross-platform, it becomes really, really important that you separate your UI from your business logic to get as much reuse as possible. There's something called MVVM as a pattern, Model View View Model. Does anyone, if you don't know it, look it up. It's basically, it started out with WPF as a way to separate, the XAML from your business logic. Create a view model. Design your app so that interacting with it is just a matter of setting properties on the UI. And so that's one of the best ways to abstract it. On the Windows side, in XAML and that, data binding is extremely powerful. You can just bind properties right to your model. As the properties change, your UI just changes automatically. But then you can still reuse that, because you're exposing all of that as properties, you can reuse that on Android, as you saw, by just talking to the view model and setting the properties on the user controls directly. And with that, I think I'll say adieu, because we're out of time, and turn it back over to Dave. Thank you very much.